Montavious Willis out of Greenville, Georgia. Thank you all for listening to the Piedmont Report. Tell me, baby, I catch that old freight train and run. When I leave this time, hang a reef on your door. Why? Well, I won't be dead, but I won't be back no more. Now, which way do that blood red river run? Run from my back window straight. A lot of people don't understand the different types of blues, though. A lot of people only know about Delta blues and Chicago blues, but there's so many different types. But Piedmont blues, the style is normally a pattern finger picking, alternating bass. Normally it's just the thumb and the index, but sometimes you can incorporate more fingers if you want to, but it's at least the thumb and the index finger. The difference between a Piedmont player and a Piedmont style, because you can have someone from the Piedmont region that don't necessarily play in the style of a Piedmont player, like Barbecue Bob, for example, wasn't necessarily a Piedmont, because he never recorded anything that we could tell. But then you go back, we don't know that he couldn't play it or not, because Willie Baker, he played a ragtime piece. So what made me realize they could play ragtime pieces, but sometimes it depends on how the recording was going, because Barbecue Bob was selling good with what he had, so nobody, don't change the formula. But it's a pretty intricate playing style. Some of the most important players of the Piedmont style would be Blind Blake, definitely, Buddy Moss, and then I would say Blind Boy Fuller, who incorporated a lot of country style too. But Buddy Moss incorporated a lot of country style too, but Blind Blake was tremendous with that thumb. my granddaddy, he playing a lot of stuff. He's still playing a little bit, but not as much as he used to. He went legally blind, but he had corn and watermelon and greens, and we had a whole bunch of trees. But what happened, my granddaddy always farmed. He been farming all his life. But my grandmother's step-granddaddy had all the land. They said when you go out there, a lot of the tree died, but my grandmother told me it was any kind of fruit tree that you want was out there. That's all he did, was tend the fruit trees. And my granddaddy inherited the land. So that's all we did. We used to go out there, and the granddaddy would go out there and pull the corn up. He would do all the hard work. And, you know, I was little, you know, I wasn't doing anything. Standing over grandma's house, so he would make me shuck them. And me and my cousin shuck, I got 17 cousins, so I was the last of the few, so I didn't get to work hard. I didn't have to work hard. And I used to shuck them, and I find a worm, a green worm, and I put the corn down and start playing with the worm. And I mean, it was all kind of little things. I remember I used to go out in the field. He could tell if you go out in the field. I remember one day I asked my granddad, I said, "You been working hard today?" He was like, "Nah, I ain't been working too hard." And so I went outside and started finding milk, and I was throwing it out there in the field. He called me back. He said, "Yeah, I went working hard that day, but you got me working hard today." He said, "We out there plowed up all this stuff." But yeah, we had so many home cooked meals. We still have home cooked meals, and at our house, my daddy got a tractor too. But we got a little bit of garden peppers and tomatoes and string beans. But other than that, everybody around the community, we get some kind of fresh produce. As soon as you walk outside my house, it's a pasture. My cousin owns 23 cows across the road from me. So all around the community, we got fresh food, because we were, 12, 13 miles away from a grocery store. So if you want anything, you had to grow it back then. So many people came accustomed to growing things. That was our way of life. And don't nothing taste good as fresh food. Cause we used to have some chickens. Rhode Island Reds, I believe. We had about 4 or 5 of them, and my mom used to make cakes with them brown eggs, and I used to go out there, and it was wonderful. That's all that wonderful. Some of the best chicken, too. Once a year, we'll eat a chicken. Mm-mm. That's some good eating.
Downtown with my hat in my hand, looking for some sweet woman, ain't got no man, pretty mama. Oh, there ain't no way to do. Half a drink of water, brought me gasoline. Now you know, baby, that treating me mean, oh honey. There ain't no way to do. Get told the elephant, don't you be in a grunt. Ain't no need to get mad at me, cause your tail in the front. Hey, baby, there ain't no way to do. Yeah, bum, bum, bum. Play it good. Yeah, yeah.
Gates in the south, three gates in the west.
the east. Well, then make 12 gates to the city. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Lord, what a beautiful city. Lord, what a beautiful city. God knows.
It's okay, and I always, you do the same with me, listen to the Pete Martin Report on Blues 411. A beat. That way mama used to play. That's why they never had to use no bass when they was there. But me, I'm just a single player. Yeah. Thank you.
in Kentucky, like I said, was a coal mining camp. And everybody that lived there was countrified. And everybody had their own garden and a few domestic animals. You know, we had plenty of domestic animals like chicken, you know, and we had a squirrel, rabbit. Sometimes they'll run into your yard, I mean, you know. But most of the time you had to go out in the woods, I mean, you know, you get your rabbit, you know. But, and chicken, especially chicken, everybody grows chicken. But everybody loves chicken in the country because it's much easier and much to fix, you know. And it was good meat. So I used to go out there and watch my mother. The women, they wasn't afraid. You hardly could get a man to go out there and get a chicken and grab by his neck and break his neck off, you know, to turn it. But a woman, I'll do it in a minute. She go out there and grab a chicken. Sometimes my mother would grab, she won't grab one, then she grab two.
Right, that's my mother too.
Grab two, and she would do this. And when she drop him, he let a flutter.
He run all
once
around.
Once or twice, he let a flutter. And when he flutter, and that got it. That got it. And we used to have chicken, I mean, especially on Sunday, you know. Turkey was the same thing, I mean, you know, on holiday, you know, Thanksgiving and stuff like that. But I was a rabbit man. My father bought me a 22. I go to hunting, and I couldn't even kill another. I died like a shoot a dog, as big as a dog was, you know, because that's how poor I was with a gun. So he bought me a 410. I don't know what people know. What,
yeah, 410 shotgun, yeah.
Right. But kids in the city, most of them now, you tell them 410, they don't even know what you're talking about. They think you're talking about a big shotgun. But it's a shotgun, but it's a small shotgun that a little boy on my side could hold. And I still couldn't kill a rabbit with a 410.
You're in C-op, think, aren't
you? Yeah,
Okay, roll it.
Covered in mine, I'm blue, warm and blue always, cause the sun gonna shine my back door someday. I'm going down to the river. Take me a rocking chair. If the blues don't hit me, gonna rock away.
Rockin' jail. If the blue
blues don't hit me. Gonna rock away from here. Troubles in mind are blue. Won't be blue always.
Someday.
I like that in now. My son to the company store. If you hadn't get any of the money, you had to go to the company bank. Yes, sir. And oh, I love bologna.
Bologna.
Bologna, and back then, I loved bologna back then. And sour meat.
Sour meat.
Sour meat. Some people just call it pressed ham. But it didn't stop me having no bread ham in it. It was sour meat. Sour meat in a box of crackers. Yeah. Well, that was my dish back during that time. And I used to carry my lunch to school, you know, because back then I had to carry the lunch to school, because you have no cafe in school where you can cook your food.
Yeah. Didn't have that.
So you had to care from home, and my sister used to follow me to school. Eat up my lunch. I got to walk all the way back home, and believe it or not, all the kids didn't live right in school, though. You had some not too many miles, but quite a few miles to walk.
Yeah.
And I had to go back home, get me lunch, come back to eat. Well, those were my good days. My cousin-in-law, I had one played fiddle, and another one played banjo, and brother played guitar. And they had all the country function in that area. And
yeah.
they were good. Yes, we. And that was kind of, I imagine, encouraged me too. And one of them tried to teach me how to play juice harp.
Bessie busted your lip. Yeah, I always hit my teeth every time I tried to do it. Bam!
Take the river from your head. Shake it loose. And let it fall, yeah. Lay it soft against the skin. Like the shadow on the wall. Come and lay down by my side. Till the early morning light, oh yeah. All I'm taking is your time. Help me make it through the light. I don't care what right or wrong. I'm gonna try to understand. Let the devil take tomorrow. For tonight I'll be afraid. Yesterday didn't come, and tomorrow out of sight, oh yeah. You know, it's so sad to be alone. Help me make it through the life.
Hey, Ross Peed, the Peed Boy, talking to you right here from Piedmont Report.
From Curly Weaver.
It was a snowy midnight hour, well, long about the break of day. Wasn't a wee midnight hour, bound on by the break of day. Oh, day, oh, day. No blues come down on you, stole your mind away, away, away. Has your mind been rambling back in them days of long ago? Oh, go. Your mind been rambling back to them days of long ago. Oh, go. But the one you love, he don't live here anymore. No more. Thank you. Oh, blues, why you worried? Why you stay with me so long, so long, so long? Oh, blues, why you worried? Why you stay with me so long, so long? You come to me yesterday, you stay with me all night long, so long, so long. Diddly-woe, diddly-woe, diddly, 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 diddly-woe.
Hey everybody, this is Little G Weevil and you're listening to the Piedmont Report on Blues 411 Radio.
Yeah. I was born and raised in the city. I'm from Budapest, but we lived in the suburb. In that region, in Hungary, you know, every yard is fenced. And my parents being country people, originally, you know, both of my parents, mom, dad, they're coming from farmer families. Especially my dad's side, I mean, for generations, we talk about like over 100 years, you know, the family made their living from the farm. Huge land, acres and acres of land they had. They had workers and everything. And when the communists came, you know, communists took the land, and the entire family moved to the city. And that's where I was born and raised. But we kept animals in the backyard. So we had chickens, geese, a few ducks. We had pigeons and pigs. And back in those days, man, that was like a annual routine that the extended family gets together for pig slaughtering. Like everybody, like mom and dad's side, you know, slaughter one or two pigs a day. You always do it at winter time because it's cold, right? So all the so the stuff won't go off, you know, in the heat, right? So that's why it's always colder is the better, you know. So we used to do that every year, every winter, slaughtering pigs. And obviously, that's how they store up all the goods, you know, the meat and the lard, the fat, everything, the bacon, all that stuff. And, you know, the extended family shared. Although my father lost his land, but after a while they did manage to buy a small land somewhere just outside of Budapest. And there they had corn. Dude, I picked corn like, oh gosh, I hated it. I hated it, but I picked corn, you know, I was like maybe 5 or 6 years old, you know. And so although I'm a city kid, I learned everything, how to plant tomatoes, potatoes, and you name it. You know, we picked cherries, we had apricot, we had walnut, we had everything. You know, the yard, backyard was pretty big, so, and there was no choice anyway. So back those days, you know, we didn't have video games or whatever, or, you know, when your parent told you to get out and start shoveling or digging, you know, you just had to do it. So, and I'm glad that I did all that, to be honest with you, because it's just, it puts you in a different perspective, you know, when you grow up and you learn how important it is to eat healthy. I mean, we ate real food. That was real food, you know, and now they call it organic and whatever. Dude, that's real food, you know, supposedly, you know. And I don't know if the organic sticker means anything these days, but I love it. And even today, I make sure I eat right and my family eats right. Like when my son was born and I learned about all this GMO stuff in the U.S., I immediately stopped shopping where I shop and went to organic. And
see, I've been down so long, seems like up to me.
This pig slaughtering was always the event, you know, the annual event for the family. You have to hire a butcher, right? So you hire a butcher and or two butchers. It depends on how many pigs you want to kill that day, because you need to move fast, right? And it was, you know, it 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. The entire family, there's like, I don't know, 20 people there, you know. Man knows their stuff, they had to process and, you know, cut the pieces. Now, but before they did anything, everybody had a shot of moonshine, you know, palenka over there, you know, which is like a fruit brandy, you know. And then, you know, it's, because it's always cold, so they had their little shot, and everybody knew what to do. The ladies would do the cleaning, you know, all the intestines in the bowel. I mean, that stuff is stinky. Yeah, but that was a real thing. They washed it out and everything, and made sausages, you know. So as you process the food and meat, you know, you grind there and everything, you season the stuff. Every family had a kind of recipe how to make a sausage or, you know, stuff like that. So by the end of the day, you're all done. But it was the get together, and I have very sweet memories of that. You know, as you grow up, you know, you watch the little cousins, you know, they're like two, three running around, you know, and it's a very nice memory, actually. So we were segregated pretty much, and everything Western, everything coming from the West, culture, cars, whatever, music, was illegal. So it's like, you know, you think of Cuba or whatever, you know, that you know, they have just the same stuff they had like 50 years ago. That's what we looked like too. The cars we drove were only communist cars made in Russia or Poland, you know, in communist countries. There was no American or German car like BMW or stuff like that. So nothing. And the music was included in this. You did not hear a Western music like Beatles, Led Zeppelin, or nothing like that, unless you listened to this illegal radio station called Free Europe. But if you caught listening to that station, you were put in jail. So anyway, so there were blues fans. They heard blues, but they could not get blues music in the stores. There's no way. So, and I remember my Hungarian mentor, harmonica player Tomasz Szabó, I played with that. We released two albums. Had no choice. He told me this story. He sneaked through the border back then to Yugoslavia. But he found out that there are some stores, record stores, he could get blues LPs. So he sneaked through the border, risking his life, because there was no joke back then. They shoot you and they find you. So he sneaked through the Iron Curtain with a couple of friends just to get blues albums, you know. You know, you had no choice, you know. And he became one of the best harmonica players in the region anyway.
Lance was the fastest man nobody could catch. Rode a tiny bicycle all the way to France. He was surely dead wind year after year. He'd beat all the big names all over the world with a teeny bitty hell. He would always finish first. I could not even ride to the the store to get some milk. Watching the recent TV is too exhausting for me. Troubled man, he knows what he's done. At the end of the day, my friends, he's not the only one. He's not the only one. At the end of the day, my friends, he's not the only one.
Lance Armstrong.
Hey there, y'all. This is Lil Joey here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm privileged to be here with Mudcat today, being a part of the Piedmont Report on Blues 411 Internet Radio. It's a pleasure to be here and to be able to be playing with Mudcat and to be giving music and hopefully making people happy. Hope you're smiling today. Most people have this illusion about keeping goats, you know, like, oh, I'm going to milk goats. It's going to be fun. And it is. I mean, it's a great pleasure. What they don't realize is milking is just an infinitesimal part of it. The rest of it's caring for the livestock, trimming hooves, keeping their coats clean, shoveling the barn, making sure their feed is right, making sure that they're healthy. You know, maintaining the animal is much more time consuming than just milking it. You gotta pay attention to them. I grew up drinking goat milk as a kid. I grew up on that.
When the storms of life are rage, you won't stand by me. When the storms of life are rage, you won't stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea, that who rulest wind and water won't stand by me. Persecution won't stand by me. In the midst of persecution, please stand by me. When my foes in worry undertake to stop my way, that who never lost a battle won't stand by me. Some failures, please stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, brother, stand by me. When I've done the best I can and my friends misunderstand, that who knowest all about me won't stand by me.
Picked gardens, of course, and that was like, I mean, that was fun. Oh, you know, geez. You know, growing up, my grandfather, bringing us back to my grandfather on my mom's side, you know, they had like six kids, and in a three-bedroom home, they raised six kids in a little, real small home in Matamoros, Pennsylvania. The aunts and uncles, you know, my cousins would all come over always for Thanksgiving, and it was hunting season, so. You know, my grandfather was a great hunter. We all hunted. It was sort of like the family tradition, so to speak. But we'd pick corn as kids. We'd pick corn and shuck the corn, and it was the fun part of having the dinner was going out to the garden, and like you pick a bunch of ears of corn, and all the kids sat around peeling corn and pulling the hair off and everything, eating fresh vegetables right out of the garden. You just walk down and grab a tomato. I'd get the salt shaker from my grandmother before I went out, though, from the kitchen, and I'd go out with the salt shaker and just pick a fresh tomato right off the vine and have it right out of the garden. Green beans, ooh Lord, fresh green beans, radishes. My grandmother said you could grow radishes in the cracks of sidewalks. They'd grow just about anywhere. You know, gardening was a big memory of mine. Yeah, special memory. Right, bonding, family time, getting together, working together. It's magical.
Well, now I got this woman, she's staying 6'4". Sleeps with her head on the pillow and her feet down on the floor. She's too tall to mambo. Yeah, she's too tall to mambo. My baby too tall to mumble, but I love a woman just the same. Well, we went down to a shore on Chopatulas Avenue. I had to stop and buy myself some elevator shoes. She's too tall to mambo. Yeah, she's too tall to mambo. My baby too tall to mambo, but I love that woman just the same. Baby, she got arrested the other night and I couldn't go a bail. She shook it for the judge, he threw those cops in jail. Too tall to mumble. Yeah, too tall to mumble. Well, my baby, too tall to mumble. But I love that woman just to see her.